All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go, gotcha. All right, Kenrick Ellis and Joe McKnight, we're going to keep back here, so both of those guys will not play in a game. Kenrick was limited in practice, and he's just not quite ready, to play, so hopefully next week he'll be ready to go. And Joe McKnight, it's one of those type of deals where, you know, if he can get 25% better by not playing any game, it's probably time to do that. And that's why we're going that route, and hopefully be able to get him back where he can practice and play. So he won't play in this game. These players are listed as questionable. That's Bart Scott with a toe, Brandon Moore, hip, Nick Mangold, ankle, Eric Smith, knee, Bilal Powell, shoulder, Sione Boha, low back. All those guys were limited in practice today, but I believe all of them will play. Okay, these other players are probable. Excuse me. They were all full in practice today. That's Sanchez with a low back, Matt Slauson, knee, Calvin Pace, shin, Mike DeVito, finger, Clyde Gates, shoulder, Damian Snacks, Harrison, thumb, Jeff Cumberland, wrist, Jeremy Curley, heel, and LaRon Landry, heel. Okay, so, but all those guys were full today. Expect them all to go. This hat that I'm wearing, I don't know if you see the hat right here, is something really the organization. I'm going to wear this hat on behalf of the organization. And basically, it's just to let people know, especially the people in our region that were affected by Hurricane Sandy, that our thoughts and prayers are with them. And hopefully they can, when they see this hat on the sideline, that they understand that we're with them and we're definitely thinking about them. We're also trying to represent our region when we go up there to play this game. And, if we can, they can get something encouraging out of our performance, and that certainly motivates us and drives us as well. So with that said, I'll open it up for questions.
Rex, you said at the beginning of the season that you didn't want to make any guarantees because you felt like in the past that put some unnecessary pressure on the players. Cromartie, you said yesterday this team liked the playoffs, and Wilkerson backed him up today, said the same thing. Is it different when it comes from the players when they make these assertions?
Well, I think so, but to me it's like, look, we're 3-5. We know the task is a huge task in front of us. But again, this is how the team thinks. Like, look, we're not down, but we're certainly not out. And we have half our season in front of us, and we're attacking it with the mentality that, yes, we are going to make the playoffs. And we are confident in ourselves. Others, who outside of our fan base and maybe in our organization, maybe they aren't as confident. But quite honestly, that's fine, all right? But here, you're going to see that we're a confident football team. None of us are, we're not where we wanted to be. But, again, the season's not over. And for us, we feel confident in our abilities that, when it's all said and done, that no matter how tough the task, that we can make the playoffs.
Rex, obviously you focused on being the running team and the ground and pound and all that, but with Joe's issues and Bilal's issues the last few weeks, how much has that impacted, I guess, maybe how you guys are game planning, how has that affected the running game as far as preparation?
Well, sometimes we've gone into it without Powell and without Joe McKnight. So it has affected us a little bit, and we're fortunate we get Powell back this week, so I think that'll really help us. But when both those guys are down, and that's really at any position, if you lose a couple of guys at the same position, obviously that's a real stress for your depth, and your quality eventually is going to go down. So it's good to get Bilal back. And Bilal's a tremendous pass protector, has good receiving skills and run skills. So that really helps having him back.
How how much did you have to adjust, I don't know, schematically or whatever, how much adjustments did you actually have to make, though, to what you were doing?
Well, sometimes you definitely have to do that. When you go in there and there's a guy that's questionable if he's going to play, then you're not going to set your game plan up as if, hey, you're going to have Joe McKnight and all of a sudden now he doesn't play. That doesn't make sense. So your planning, it is different. Like even, you know, Joe played the last couple of weeks, really never had him a whole lot. You know, he played more against New England. But again, it was something that you almost can't count on if a guy has that kind of injury. You know, if it's going to be a game time decision, you almost don't, you really can't plan on him playing, you know, so you do just the opposite.
Rex, Mo said today on that he thinks that you guys can rattle Russell Wilson. How effective do you think your pass rush can be in getting to him and to rattle him?
Well, I think what, you know, the point I'm sure Mo's trying to make is that to do that, we have to, you know, we have to stop the run. And I think that's the number one priority. When you're going up against this Seattle football team, they actually throw the ball less than any team in the league. So what we have to do is, you know, we have to do a great job of stopping the run and then put Seattle in a position where they don't want to be, where they have to throw the ball more. And I think that's the big thing. This quarterback is an outstanding quarterback, but like any young quarterback, you want to mix your pressures, your coverages, give them different looks and things like that. So that's certainly what we're trying to do.
Rex, can you use his size to your advantage? I mean, he's not the tallest quarterback out there. So
right.
Are there things that you can do to take advantage of that?
Well, yeah, you try against a shorter quarterback, you try to, you know, condense the pocket. I'm not giving you a game plan, but you definitely try to condense the pocket on him and then, you know, get some push and get your hands up. Now with this guy, with this young man, he's got escapability. He's smart. He knows. He tries to find throwing lanes. He doesn't have a whole lot of passes batted, you know. So they move the pocket with him. They do different things with him, and he has a high release. So sometimes all, you know, I remember there was a quarterback we played a few years ago. It was like 6'5", 6'6", but he had such a low release that the priority in that game, push and get your hands up. This young man is shorter, but he does have a high release.
How daunting a task is it to deal with the speed of that pass rush combined with the noise in that stadium, like false starts? So
well, that's it. And sometimes, you know, your teams that, you know, can get a beat on your cadence, whatever, really plays into that defense's hands. So, but yeah, they're built to rush the passer. They got two real explosive edge players, and then they have some good pass rushers inside. So, you know, again, the communication's got to be critical this week, and the self-inflicted wounds, as we call them, obviously their home field contributes to that, but we can't allow it. Our focus has got to be so tight, so detailed that we don't allow it to affect the game or control the game.
Rex, they use the play action pass so much with Russell. How do you think they use that kind of as a buffer to protect him being a rookie quarterback? And how much have you guys?
Well, I don't necessarily see that. I see a team that's really committed to running the football because of the personnel they have. I mean, they have some good backs, and it's, you know, they do a good job up front. They do an excellent job of blocking on the perimeter, and that opens things up down the field. And, you know, as soon as you try to, you know, a guy tries to fall in a running game, all of a sudden now it's a double move over top of you. And they have it's a complementary, you know, offense where you run the ball, you vertical pass. You know, so again, it's off the play action and things. I think on first and second down, the two leading receivers are averaging close to 18 yards or even more than that on first down or second in running situations. So it tells you it's not just move the sticks. It's if we throw it, we're going to try to block it up and make a big play down the field on you.
Rex, when you talk about obviously that focus and detail, even more critical maybe a place like Seattle, but I guess I'm curious if in some ways because of the struggle maybe in that last game in Miami, like, do you have their attention better because of that, you know what I'm saying, like where they know they better listen to you, or do you sometimes, is it the flip, like you worry that they didn't have the focus, how do I
make sure they get it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes use it to your advantage that you can remind them, you know, I'm not kidding around because look what happened the last game.
Well, no, absolutely. But it's not even just the last game. I think when you have that bye week, you go back and you look at the entire season and the body of work, and really some of our focus that we talked about, we went back to week one and all the way through and showed them black and white things, how, you know, in detail, how some self-inflicted things that has nothing to do with your opponent, how you've also hurt yourself. And we played some good opponents. So, but we have to take care of this first and not contribute to, you know, beating ourselves. We got to take care of our responsibilities first, and then attack the opponent.
Are you as comfortable telling guys when they screw up as when they play well?
I know this may surprise you, but I don't think it'll surprise you. If you ask any of the players, they know that I have no problem doing it.
How much did you try to simulate the noise this week? And I saw the speakers and the music out there today. How much was that a cause of trying to simulate the chaos that takes place?
Well, that's it. I mean, you turn it up as loud as you can, and it's brutal, as we all know, you know, standing out there. But that's what we do. And I think, you know, you try to get it to be as loud and as crazy and as hectic as you possibly can. And then when you get there, the thing that you can't simulate is how they're literally on top of you. You know, so that's something that you really can't get ready for. But the noise is something we think we can control, you know, get pump in the music, the noise, the crowd noise, all that kind of stuff as high as we can. You know, and to be honest with you, it's a relief when, okay, the defense is out there. Whew, now you can turn that stuff down a little bit. But that's really how you, I think, the best way to do that.
How unique is the Seattle secondary? And I know a lot of it has been made of, you know, multiple guys, 6'2", 6'4". You guys see a Sean Smith during the season with Miami. Is it unique, or is it, you know, from your perspective, especially having worked with defensive backs for so long?
Well, yeah, it is unique because you might have one of those guys, you know, on your team, but they literally have three, and then the fourth guy is probably their best player, you know, one of the best premier safeties in the league. So, you know, here we have Crow, so we see a giant all the time with, by the way, great speed, great skills and everything else. So we're getting about as good a look as, I mean, they can't simulate, you know, they're good at corner, no question about it. They can't simulate how good Cromartie is. So, but they do. They have three guys with that kind of size, you know. So it really is. I don't know if I've ever seen a group that big. You know, I think you probably have to go back in the 60s when they never cared about, you know, you can hit guys all the way, you know, all over the place. You had Dick Night Train Lane as a corner, and he's like 250 and just knocking people down all over the place. That's kind of the style. You know, it's a real aggressive hitting unit as well.
Do you see that maybe catching on? I know it's a copycat league in terms of trends and whatnot. Could you see coaches, or are there just not as many out there?
There are not as many out there, I can tell you that much. What you always do, there's an old adage, you know, I mean, the NFL obviously is a size-speed league, but you take a good big one over a good little one, okay? You always do that. And in this league, you know, that old saying about, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall and all that. Nah, not in this league. The bigger they are, the harder they hit in this league. So a lot of times, you know, you get that kind of skill set. That's what you look for. But these guys are rare. It's hard to find these guys.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.